Granny and Grandpa's house hid in its nest of oleander trees, their branches constantly fruiting orange, black-whiskered caterpillars. Raised a foot and a half above the ground and skirted by wide windows that opened onto a matching white porch, this was a house built before air conditioning tamed the county. Granny stood at the screen door to greet us. In all my 18 years of life, I had never arrived at their house without seeing her smiling from behind the silver mesh. Even as we shut our car doors, Granny had stepped onto the porch with her arms open. "Don't say anything about Grandpa going to the doctors. We don't know anything yet for sure," Mom said to me in a whisper. I didn't know he had gone. What's wrong with him? Is it serious? Jesus, Mom, that was a bombshell. I told you the other day he was going in. No, you didn't. I did so. Hush. Come here and give your granny a big wet kiss. She was half as tall as me. She had the delicate roundness and wrinkles you expect from a grandma. I imagined if I hugged her tiny frame too hard, she would turn to sand and pour from my arms. Even this early on a Saturday morning, her hair was perfectly done. Grandpa sometimes pretended to rest his elbow on the top of her head, to which Granny would complain about having her hair just set. "Where's Grandpa?" I asked. My Grandpa Arlen, on the other hand, was built of timber and irons. His beer gut suited his large frame and broad shoulders. Regardless of the weather, he wore a white undershirt and blue jeans. The only thing that varied was the brand name on his baseball cap. He might have been an intimidating man, but when he tilted his head back to look through his bifocals, his blue eyes magnified comically. Granny gave me that big wet kiss on the cheek, patted my arm with her soft, papery hand. Mom's offer to help in the kitchen was rejected. "Grandpa's out in the barn. You want some coffee, Gavin?" Granny asked. Grandpa appeared from the barn, gripping his thumb tight against his chest. He crossed the yard and stepped onto the porch. Today's baseball cap read, "Cat Diesel Power." He shouted, "Mama, can you bring me the sewing kit?" I stepped to the screen. "Hey, boy, go get your granny for me." A delta of blood flowed between his fingers and down his arm. His tendons were taut against the freckled and thick arms. "What do you want with my sewing kit?" Granny asked. "Damn it, woman, quit your fuss and bring me a needle and thread." He frowned, embarrassed by his impoliteness. "Gavin, I'm going to need your help. Can you come out here?" "Thank you." Drops of blood dotted his shirt. I burped bile and held the screen door dumbly. When Mom and Granny saw the red dribbles on his shirt and jeans, they chorused, "Oh my God, what have you done? Call 911. What's happened?" "I'll be all right. The boy's going to help." "Are you sure? We should call 911. "Sure, I'm sure." He turned to me, motioned. "Come on." I wasn't so sure, but I obediently followed. He sat on the bench swing, and I concentrated on controlling the sickness in my stomach. Granny returned and handed him the threaded needle. "Can you get me some rubbing alcohol?" he asked her. Mom had replaced me at the screen door and continued her calls for doctors, ambulances, and tetanus shots. Grandpa charged me with the duty of holding the torn flesh of his thumb while he stitched with sky blue thread the gash that ran from the tip of his digit to the meat of his palm. My heart fluttered and it became hard to breathe as Grandpa pushed the needle through the callous skin, then drew the thread to bring the edges together and hide that thin line of fatty curds. He must have noticed the color leaving my face. His slow, deep voice, "You all right, boy?" kept me from passing out. "Don't worry, we're almost done here." I tried to hold together the sides of the cut. His skin was sticky with the drying blood. When I adjusted my grip, the cut opened and provided a fresh dollop of red. I smelled that coppery scent and I fought that churning acid in my stomach. "Steady now." Granny came out with a plastic bottle. He nodded to her and paused the sewing. She timidly poured the liquid over our hands as if she was going to feel the pain. Grandpa closed his eyes, his mouth tightened, but he didn't utter a sound. "All right, that's enough. Mom, can you get us some clean rags or bandages if we got them?" After she left, she leaned toward me and whispered, "Let's get this done before that woman comes out here and tries to kill me again." He smirked and winked. He finished his uneven suture. "You okay?" I croaked. "Me? You the one green around the gills? How you feeling?"